We are continuing on our teaching, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Can everyone hear me now? Okay, I think you can hear me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, 13, 14, 15. We're looking at our scripture, and Paul is writing to his protege, P-R-O-T-E-G-E, who happens to be Timothy, sort of like his student. And one of the epistles that I personally love are the pastoral epistles. I mean, pastoral epistles, they are called pastoral epistles because many times Paul had to write them. Timothy is one, 1 Timothy is one, 2 Timothy is another, and then Titus also. And it just helps me, you know, get some counsel on how to address issues and how to do the things that I'm supposed to do in rightly. So I love Paul's writings to Timothy because I feel like I also need all of those things he told Timothy. So when he tells Timothy, hey, Timothy, till I come, pay attention to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Then he asks, neglecting of the gifts which was given thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Then he tells him to stir up those gifts. Then he says, give yourself wholly unto these things, and your profiting will appear unto all. So I pick the same words and I identify with them. What a blessing. So he's telling Timothy another instruction. Let no man despise your youth. Timothy actually had two people that Paul had met, you know, who gave good recommendations of him. One happened to be his grandmother, the other happened to be his mother, Lois and Eunice respectively. And so these two were very vital in Timothy's upbringing. So Paul, I think on his first or second missionary journey, I'll confirm that, you know, discovers Timothy and then, you know, goes along with Timothy, is teaching Timothy, is raising up Timothy, you know, making sure that Timothy grows up very strongly to also continue in the work that he had started. Then all of a sudden, Paul has to leave Timothy in Ephesus, right? So he leaves Timothy in Ephesus, and Paul had great love for Timothy, like very, very, very strong love for Timothy, because, you know, it was said that Timothy exemplified everything that Paul was. So in doctrine, in manner of life, in persuasions, in everything, if you wanted to see who Paul was, then you probably might be looking at Timothy, right? So if you see Paul, you're probably going to see Timothy. Or where he was left at Ephesus, if you see Timothy, you're most going to know that, okay, Paul was the one that taught him, because he exemplified every other thing that Paul had taught. So Paul is giving another instruction to this young boy he had met, and he had taken up, and he had trained, and he had raised, and he had inspired. And he says, let no man despise thy youth. Right? Nobody should look down on what you have been given to do. You know, those times where in a church, in the whole land of Ephesus, like Timothy is like, let's say 30, some others say 28, some others say 25, some others say 35, some others say 40. So let's just say between 25 and 40, all those were considered youth actually. So there's this 75-year-old man who is messing around in the place. And Timothy is supposed to say, daddy, with all due respect, this is not how it's supposed to be done. And I will not allow this happen in the church any longer. 75, he's 25, 30, 32. Instructing someone who is 80, 89, 85, 76, 74. In fact, training them and saying, why were you late for discipleship today? Please, I should ask you, daddy, why were you late? So Timothy had to be very, very strong. He didn't just deal with people who had to be young as his age. He had people around him who were way older. people that he was discipling, people who were messing up. And I'm going to show you a few scriptures, you know, to point out to that. So Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, let no man despise your youth, right? So we can coin out wisdom from that and say, we are not going to let any man disdain, look down on, tell us we're young. We can't do the ministry because we are too young. And, you know, this ministry is not for, you have to grow. Grow at least 40 years, 45, then you can now become a pastor. Nope. As early as 20, we are ready and ripe to become pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, whatever. As early as 20. I showed you Numbers 25. I'm going to show you scripture again. All right, but when you are 20, you are ready, please. Yes. Today when you see even 20-year-old people, you think they are my senior brothers and my senior sisters. Because they look more mature than me. They look more heavier than me. Their muscles are more grown than me. And you wonder, you know. So today's 20 years, they are older than 35. Yeah, 20 years old. Not 25, 20. And they look manly, womanly, everything's on. So the way your body is growing, you should let your mind grow like that. You see that? Do you see that? Because the way your body is growing, you should let your mind. I saw my sister after not seeing her in 2 or 3 years. And I was going to greet her when she entered in the dark. I'm serious. I'm not lying to you. Yeah, I was going to greet her like, good evening. Till I looked again, I said, hey, Annie, are you the one? She laughed and laughed. I was going to greet her. Yeah. So today people are grown. My brother is as tall as I am, even maybe taller than me. Yeah. So you see that 20, you are ready. The way your body is growing quickly. Eh? The way your body is growing. You can ask, my brother is almost, my height or taller than me? Yes, the small boys I've been talking about. The last time I saw them, Ivan did. So the way your body is growing, we want your mind to grow in the same way. And we want your heart to also grow in the same way. So he's saying, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers. So you're going to be a worthy example. Then he says, in speech. So you're going to mind your speech. You're going to mind your speech. You cannot be careless in your words. Know how to talk. Know how to address issues. See, it's not everything you fight about. Do you see that? Yeah, it's not everything you fight. You throw in a fist. He says, be an example. So every godly person should be an example. Yes, it's a pastoral epistle, it's more for pastors and people who are into ministry, but it points directly to the believer. In what you say, so in your words, you're careful to use the right words whenever they're supposed to be used rightly. In what you do, right? In what you do, in conduct, the way you carry yourself around. The way you address issues. the way you respond to issues, in conduct, the way you relate with people. I'm teaching you how that no man can despise your youth. The way you relate, you talk to, the way you carry yourself around. I told you one of the very clear characteristics of usefulness is exuberance, vigor. You know, the state of having a lot of vigor and, you know, and energy. But you should know how to channel that energy. You should know how to channel that energy wisely. We're not saying don't have energy. You have all the energy. But you should know where to use that energy. Have you seen someone enter into an office? Hey, Charlie, I can't move. And we are like, please be calm. This is an office. This is an office. It's an office. It's not a game center. You know, when you enter into a game center and you just enter because you want them to know the FIFA king is here, like, hey, I'm the one here. No, it's not a game center. It's an office. So when you enter very calmly, very honorably. Just throw your words around. Use very insultive words. No. He says, when you do this, men are going to despise your youthfulness. Don't do that. Right? Then he says, in what you say, in what you do, in love, in the way you care for others. Remember, Timothy was a very youthful person. So, Paul is telling Timothy that, see, you must love the people very well. Treat them very well. Treat them very well. Show compassion. You see, there's a thin line between love and compassion. They're not all the same. They almost seem like the same, but they're not all the same. Used interchangeably. You know, many times love in the Bible is always described as God's kind of love. So that's like agape. You know, it's a love that's godly and is of the God kind. It sacrifices all the time for the other. If you want to know what it is, you can look at that in 1 Corinthians 13. Then there's compassion. Compassion is more sensory in its nature. So for example, when somebody comes to you and they say, I'm hungry and I've not eaten for 3 days. And could you help me? You see, there's a difference between love and right compassion. You can have sometimes compassion, right? But that compassion will not end in proving love. So somebody comes here and tell you that, oh, this is what is going on. True compassion will say, I feel what you are feeling. Right? And I will go at length to help you get food. Now, compassion that is not godly will say, hey, I know what you are feeling. And God will do it. See the difference? True compassion feels what you are feeling. It's almost like you now also take that state. It's the word intercessor. You now take that state of not being or not having a meal for 3 days. You literally find yourself in that state like, hey. It's like you put yourself right in there and you're like, you've not had food for 3 days. And you can almost feel how it feels. But compassion that is not really true will say, wow, I think I know what you're feeling. It means I don't identify with it. I have a knowledge. Knowledge is not the same as experiencing what you are feeling. So I have a knowledge of what you are going through. So anytime you see that Jesus Christ was moved with compassion, it's actually that element that's taking or that's needed to see more miracles birth. Remember, many of the miracles Jesus did, he was moved with compassion. The miracle of multiplying fish and bread was moved with compassion. The miracle of, not seeing the people scattered, he was also moved with compassion. That's actually the fish and bread. In fact, compassion was his natural state. He always identified with that. We do not have an high priest who does not identify with what we are going through. It means he identifies with it. He can almost feel what we are feeling. And that is true compassion. So, Paul says, an example, in love. It means you have compassion accompanying your acts of love. There's a difference between just showing an act of love and actually having compassion in that act of love. So you can, that's why you can give your body to be burnt, and yet still, if you don't have that element, you didn't do anything. You showed the act. You showed the act. I've shown you that, I love you. I've given you that food. You've not eaten for 3 days. But you go and stand somewhere and you're like, this person is not really serious. Can't you do something for yourself? Right? It means that you showed the act, but you didn't actually do it out of love. And you also didn't do it in compassion. So, we're supposed to be compassionate. We're supposed to feel what other people feel. Right? Yes, I'm not talking about negative, feelings. Like maybe, let's say, somebody or something has happened to somebody. Right? Maybe, let's say, you are a leader. You're supposed to be helping them. There are certain times you don't have to stoop low to feel what they are feeling. Because if you feel what they are feeling, you will not be able to help them. Two people who are down cannot help one another. One has to be strong for the other. Right? One has to see through and say no. Right? But when it comes to applying, that rightly, in the context of, let's say somebody needs a miracle, somebody needs a prayer, somebody needs something, you're supposed to be able to put yourself in that shoes. And then you can identify with them. So, Paul is telling Timothy, another thing that you must do is that you must also become an example in love. The way you handle the people around. The way you talk to them around. The way you talk to them around. The way you handle and you are compassionate on both adults and younger folks. We're making sure that nobody, despises our youth. Another is in attitude. It means in spirit. You're going to have an attitude that portrays God's servanthood rightly. In faith. In a sense of faithfulness. And then in purity. So these are the criteria that you must use to access yourself. And then, to more contextually, a pastor. Because Timothy was almost like a pastor. If he's smart, he's funny, he's cool, he dresses well, he's popular. But you must look out for an example in word. An example in love. An example in attitude, which is in spirit. An example in faithfulness. And an example in purity. So don't go around asking for honor when you are not honorable. Don't go around demanding for honor when you are not honorable. you carry yourself around, you say anything, you laugh anywhere, you sit anywhere, you say anything, you just gossip about anyone, slander, do this. Then you say, the people are not honoring me. So it's ridiculous for you to ask, you know, for honor, when in fact there is nothing about you that's worth honoring. Light-mindedness, impure life. That's very interesting. How can a boss be having some affair to do with maybe a secretary? Right? That's not going to be good. You see that the secretary doesn't respect the boss. She comes to work whenever she wants to come. Or she comes to work when she's supposed to come. But she doesn't respect the boss. Because apparently, the boss has no honor for himself. So in the church, amongst us as believers, we're not going to despise our youth. Let people disdain our youthfulness. But we are going to be perfect examples. Examples. We're going to be examples. Examples in love. Examples in sacrifice. Examples in purity. Great examples to other people so they can look at us and be encouraged. See what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm going to show you a scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 1, 2, 3. 7. Right? There are some very instructions there. Some very good instructions here. Then he says, rebuke not an elder. That's what Timothy is being told by Paul. But entreat him as a father. Right? Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, he's not speaking generally. He's speaking within the context of a church. And then he's saying, treat the younger men as brethren. It means see that brotherhood. So, Timothy, you are supposed to be smart enough as your pastor to treat the elder men as fathers. It means we still recognize them as fathers. Right? We recognize them as fathers. Like I said, you will want to entreat them to do what is right. And you're going to be relating with him as a father. And then to the younger people, as brothers. The elder women, as mothers. The younger ones, as sisters. Then he says, with all purity. It means that you don't have to, as a discipler, start seeing sisters as girlfriends. Do you see that? You don't have to start seeing sisters as girlfriends. I made a decision to continually decentralize my messages. Right? In a very wise way. Because I realized that the sheep has to be taught. Yes, they have to be taught. You'll be shocked. You think somebody knows something. The person doesn't know it. So rather than assume that everybody knows, I'd rather teach you. Right? So you're going to see that people around have sisters. She's my sister. She's my sister. He's my brother. She's my sister. He's my brother. And when you want to take it a step further into being whatever you want to call it, let me tell you the right thing to do. The right thing to do is not even to go and start texting them behind your pastor's back. be texting, giving love emojis, sending red and blue hearts. And you see, the red heart means I love you, with Jesus' love, because that one red blood was shed. The blue means there is something romantic about the love. So the two are not the same. You're sending things. It says, as sisters. Do you send your sister? Some of you say, yes, it's true. Pastor, please, I send my sister red hearts. You are not telling the truth entirely. You send red hearts with very pure mentalities. Not red hearts with very evil intents. So, you're going to treat them as sisters, not as something else. And just in case you want somebody to do something to do with them, say, Pastor, you see, whenever a guy is lying, let me show you something. He'll tell you that you should keep the relationship silent for a while. Let's not tell Pastor. Let's not tell even our disciple. Let's just keep it silent till Jesus reveals in our hearts that we can't go and tell them. It's a lie. It's a lie. The right thing to do is that he's going to come. Pastor, I've seen this girl. Because some of you, the guys, I will not give the girls to you. I'll tell them that, hey, this guy is not serious. Don't listen to him. And I'm not even going to stand in front of you and say, I'm talking for you. I'll just tell you that, see, this sister is too precious to be given to you. Maybe you have to prove yourself over the years. This sister is too precious. They say, Christ family, they marry. Their pastor has a say in who they, if you don't like it like that, go to other ministries. The other ministry, one time I laughed at something. I couldn't stop laughing. I was listening to a certain Kumasi prophet. And he said, this is quite interesting. Oh. No, he's an Accra prophet. He has Kumasi origin. He said, all of you, your pastors, you know your congregants. So he's a prophet. We don't know our congregation. When we open the church, if you come, you come. If you don't come, you go. I was like, my God, somebody does church like this. Yeah, he was happy about it. He doesn't know his church members. He doesn't know when they open the church. If you come to church, if you come, go to your house. Yeah. And when he comes to blast them, then you prophesy, teach or preach, whichever way he wants to do it. Then he closes the church again. So the church, he doesn't know his church. I'm like, my God. Yeah, so he doesn't know his church members. He's like, you pastors, you are the ones that know. I loved. So I was like, wow. Doing church like this can be very amazing. Imagine me, I just opened the church. Yeah, there's no struggle. You just open. When you open, you said, and then my Bible shall come 11:30 a.m. Wow, Eja. Pona bra, wow, bra, wow, I say bra. In your Asia 11:30, maybe yes, I'm a country, be a mama. 3 days time, be fine. Open the church is full. Everybody is waiting for a country, waiting for prophecy, waiting for this. Yeah, so he doesn't know his church members. So if you're in a church like that church, you can marry anybody. You can even come into the church, marry a singer. And the pastor doesn't know. It will take like 4 weeks for the prophet to say, your friend is saying, sir, anti mafia ne second born. John, brother to us. They are done with you. Here we don't do that. If you think I should tell you, we don't do that. We see that you have good relationships. you don't like it like that, we didn't force you to be here. It's the right thing to do. You see somebody who's ahead of you, say, this is the plans that I have. That I want to move towards so-and-so lady. Pastor, please, what do you think about it? And the ladies, when they come to you behind, say, have you told Pastor, or is Pastor aware that you're starting to send me love emojis? And you're starting to call me at 12 immediately after prayer. You're calling me, is Pastor aware? You people, you don't know. Hey. So let me continue with my sermon. He says, honor, right? In all purity. Let me say that to the older women as mothers, to the younger women as sisters. In all purity, being careful to maintain appropriate relationships. Going to maintain good relationships. That's how you can be a good example. Right? So people don't disdain your youthfulness. Right? People don't disdain your youthfulness. They don't say, this one, you two are mobile. They just do anything they want to do. They do anything. No. You have that tag of being honorable. So Timothy was supposed to do this. In fact, he gives Titus the same instruction in Titus 2 verse 4 to 8. See what he says, Titus, in Titus 2 verse 4 to 8. Titus 2 verse 4 to 8. This prophet makes me laugh every time. When I remember that statement, I'm like, what a ministry. Yeah, many people do ministry like that. They just open the church. If you come, you come. If you come, you come. They don't do so. Evangelism. We don't evangelize. We prophesy. That's what we do. So he's telling the young men as well. Remember, he's writing to Titus. Right? Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. So teach what's right. Gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So he's telling Timothy the same thing. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Right? To love their husband. He's actually talking to elder women here. To love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptiveness, that's a repetition. Gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. So he doesn't want any evil thing to say about you. So young men, be sober-minded. Know your doctrines. Don't be corrupt. Be sincere. Sound in your speech. Have sound speeches that cannot be condemned. Right? The ladies, love your husbands. Love your children. Be discreet. It's not everything. You're talking. Everything you talk about is. Be discreet. Know how to keep things a secret. Yes. So these are important things. When you do these things, not many people will be able to talk down or look down on your youthfulness. It's like you're young, but yes, he's wise. Oh, okay, he's young, but I mean, he knows how to carry himself around. He will not slander. He will not insult anybody. Not talk carelessly. You know how to carry yourself around every time. Now, in the ministry, you must pay careful attention to this. You must pay careful attention to this. The ladies, you cannot just be very soft. Yeah, you can't be very soft. I'm telling you, ministry is a very slippery ground. You can't be soft. Anything somebody tells you, you're just smiling. You're just laughing. You can't be soft. There are certain times you must go in hard. You know why you are there. You know what is expected of you where you are. You do it and you leave the place. That's how a lady goes for evangelism, to evangelize to a guy. And the guy is now dating the lady. How is that possible? That shouldn't be. You should have a very clear sense of purpose and a very clear sense of focus on whatever is required of you. Be very clear in your mind what your sense of purpose is. The ladies, the young, elder ladies, you must be able to teach the younger ladies also as well. That's how you see them as sisters. Sisters means that, okay, I'm your sister. I want to know. Can you teach me? Can you do this? What does pastor, what pastor say? What does pastor say about this? Yeah, so what, teach me. What should I do in case of this? The people who are older than you, you could take some good counsel from, especially when you know they listen to your pastor. You can take some counsel because they probably might have heard a teaching or knows what pastor has taught about concerning what you are confused about. When you do that, you are much safer. Do you understand? You're much safer. You're much safer. You're much safer. So, we all together are going to see ourselves as family, as brethren. Are you listening? It doesn't matter whether somebody is here or somebody. We all together are going to see ourselves like that. Don't have any segregations or separations. Walk honorably. See yourselves as part. Flow freely. Be fine everywhere. So you're going to make yourself a youth that will be a worthy example. Such that older people will not disdain, disregard, despise, look down on you. Let me tell you something. Aside all the corrections that I have to be making, rebukes coming in, left, right, middle, center, for everybody at very specific times, let me tell you something. I know I have the best people in the world. Yes. I'm not oblivious of that fact. I'm very, 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 very much aware. Yes. I understand very, very well. Because what happens is that when God sends you people, like my pastor said, he said, they are going to be raw materials. So you're going to actually, you are the one going to make them what they should become. But aside anything else that is happening and the making and all, I know it very well. I'll not choose any other people to associate with or to relate to. I'll not choose anybody. Yeah. I'll not choose any. I don't sit down at a point in time and desire that I had somebody else. I never do that. It never crosses. I have the best people, best followers, the best children, the best incoming pastors. I have the best of everything. That's how my life is. God gave me the best of everything. I always know that. Yeah, the best of everything. I'm not lying to you. I'm not kidding to you. Even when it feels like it didn't work out at a point. Before I realized, I realized, oh, he was actually preparing me for what was the best. Yeah, so I have the best. Sometimes I speak to some of you and you say, this person has gone to do this. This person is saying this. This person is backsliding. This person is whatever, has joined. Well, I all of those things don't move me. See, people are people everywhere. People are people everywhere. Yeah, you'll be shocked that what we are correcting and doing that here, you think is very, it's not just anything. So it's happening in every group, at every church. You see, you can find anywhere. Check, you see, everywhere is happening. Everywhere is the same. There's no, everywhere is the same. I think my place is better. Yeah, everywhere is the same. So I believe strongly that as you open up your heart to be trained, to receive, to become whatever it is you are being created into, what God is molding you into by the continuous feeding of His Word, we're going to have great, great, great results. Okay? We're going to have great, great results. So I don't look around. I don't say this person is no. I don't look around. I don't look around. I'm a very straight-minded person. When I choose something, I choose. I don't have any problem. Yeah. So you are going to be a good example. Are you listening? I trust that and I believe that over you. You are going to be a very, very, very good example. Yes. And men will not despise, disdain, look down on whatever your youthfulness. And I'm just youthful. I've had somebody try to tell me something about someone. I said, this person, I like the person like that. Yeah, you are saying this to them. I like the person like that. Because I know people make mistakes and people get better. So you can't say that because the person has made a mistake, I should just say, I don't know the person. No, this is my person. In fact, if you want to smear the mud, smear it on both of us, because I'm the one that, okay, you want to say I've been training him well. Okay, you smear it on me. It's okay, you smear it on me. Smear it on me. Let's just receive all the mud and let's flow with what is happening. Me, I don't have any honor and dignity. Or, yes, for what God has told me to do, I don't have any honor. Many things that people are thinking, they are saying about me that is getting to me, it doesn't affect me in any way. I pity them. Yeah, it doesn't affect me in any way. Like when you tell me something that someone is saying this about me or somebody, it doesn't affect me in any way. Yeah, I'm telling you the gospel truth. It doesn't affect you. You worry yourself. It shouldn't affect you in any way. Because it doesn't affect me in any way. I'm telling you, not even in the slightest of ways. It don't affect me. See, they are like this, they are saying that this, they are always saying, they are praying long, it doesn't affect me. Yes. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to be an example so that no man will be able to despise my youth. Are you listening? Yes. So I want you to have this mind, have this heart. Have this mind. Have this heart. Right? And then let's grow in whatever it is God has committed to our hands. I just wanted you to know, everybody who is listening to me now, I believe your best. Are you listening? No matter how messed up you think you are, no matter how whatever trouble you think I even know, see, I believe the best of you. I believe the best of you. If somebody came to tell me, this person has done this, this person has done this, this person has done this, this person, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change. Yeah, it doesn't change anything. People are people everywhere. We are believing the best of them, and that's what God wants us to do. Where there's supposed to be rebuke, we'll give it. Where there's supposed to be counsel, we'll give it. Where there's supposed to be an instruction, we'll give it. But it doesn't change anything. Right? I believe your best. your very, 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 very best. See, that's why you shouldn't be afraid when you do something wrong. You should be able to come to me boldly. Are you listening? Come to me boldly. Say, Pastor, this is what I did. Are you listening? Father, thank you for wonderful and amazing people. And for people who are growing well. No man despising their youth. Exuberant. Effective. Efficient. In the work of a ministry that you have committed to them. I pray that God, you will help them to see the reality of what I'm saying. And they will be good examples in their classrooms, workplaces, and in everywhere they find themselves. Thank you, Lord, for continuous growth. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're preparing him for Friday prayer.